Thank you, Suzanne. Do keep that passage open if you've got a Bible in front of you, and let me pray as we look at God's Word together. Lord, we thank you so much. The book of Hebrews lifts our eyes to Jesus again and again and again. Help us to fix our eyes on Him, to see how wonderful He is, and to be encouraged to keep going, following Jesus and speaking of Him to others. By your Spirit, would you come and open our hearts to your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we live in the modern age, don't we? Of internet and smartphones and space travel and heart transplants and vaccines for viruses. And yet the human problem is the same as ever. We cannot deal with guilt. We cut ourselves. We try and make amends by buying more stuff for the kids because we walked out on their mother. We give money to charity. We sacrifice time to help others. We turn over a new leaf. Friends, there are many ways as humans we try and atone for our sins. We try and pay back. We try and deal with a guilty conscience, and we live with a guilty conscience, and yet it's never enough. We can never do enough with guilt. Did you watch the fascinating interview this week of Piers Morgan with the boxer Chris Eubank? Within 5 minutes, Chris Eubank was in tears because he's still carrying the guilt and pain of that blow to Michael Watson's face that left him damaged forever. We cannot deal with guilt. We know that our conscience is defiled. It's seared with guilt and regret and if-onlys. Oh, we can blame all sorts of things. But we know, friends, don't we, deep down in our hearts, that it's out of our hearts that sin comes. As Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, or him or her. What comes out of our hearts are wrong attitudes, like pride and self-pity and bitterness and lust and envy and jealousy and covetousness and apathy and fear. Friends, where can we turn? Where can people go with guilty consciences rising up and condemning them? Where is their hope now and in every age? What does God have to say to us this morning through His words? Well, the only place we can go, the only one we can turn to, is to the blood of Jesus. The answer for guilty consciences is to go to the blood of Jesus. Turn to the only cleansing agent in the universe that can give you relief in life and peace in death and an eternal secure hope. Turn to the blood of Jesus. Trust in the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood is the only way of dealing with the guilt and the sin that we feel in our conscience. And friends, this is a good morning for us all to be listening in to God's words. There is huge comfort and encouragement to be found in this chapter, which is flooded with assurance to help us to fix our gaze on Jesus Christ and to give comfort and encouragement to keep on going and following Him. Now, how does the writer do that in this complicated chapter? Well, he does it in three ways. Firstly, we travel back like a flashback to God's people in the Old Testament, and we see that we're to realize the limitations of Old Testament believers' relationship with God. The writer spends a lot of time in this chapter, if you get to read the whole thing when you go home, talking about the Old Testament way of accessing God. And for sure we know that as God's people traveled in the desert and settled in the land, He'd made promises that they would be His people and He would be their God. They were His. But as Sarah said in the kids' talk, there is not the intimacy of a relationship that we can enjoy now through Jesus. A God dwelt at the heart of their life. In the desert, it was the tent, the tabernacle. When they're in the land, it was in Jerusalem at the temple. It was right at the heart of their life, physically, geographically, at the heart of their camp. God was at the center. And we hear about that worship space in the tent in verses 1 to 7 of chapter 9. And we see that because of their sin, they could not enter into the most holy place. The priests were represented the people. They were there to represent the people. They could only go into the outer room, verse 6 of that tent. It's called the holy place. But they could not enter into the most holy place. The most holy place, verse 3. That was behind a curtain, a room. That meant you just could not go in. It was a physical barrier. God dwelt there in his holiness. And it's only on one day of the year, the Day of Atonement, that one man, one priest, could enter in with blood. Blood to pay for his sins and to pay for the sins of God's people. Only once a year could he go in. The outer room around that was, for most people, out of bounds. Just the priests who go there. There was a clear barrier. I never forget my son, Zach. He was a security guard at Wimbledon in the summer holidays a few years ago. And his job was to guard the men's changing rooms on centre court. And his job was to stop anybody getting in, to get most people away from that space to keep it safe. Only the top tennis players could get in. I remember one day he came home and he said, "Dad, I stopped a guy with a Scottish accent today and I demanded that I see his identification. And I realised it was Andy Murray, so I just let him in." That door was guarded by my son, his ferocious guard. Well done, Zach. Well, the curtain of the temple was like that. It was a barrier that said that whilst people of God, that God's people were his people, they belonged to him, they could not get close. They could not enter his presence. Only one man could get in, one day of the year, but only with blood. As verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. What does God want to teach us as we kind of travel back in time to the Old Testament times? What does God want to teach us? Well, it's there in verse 8. The Holy Spirit, that is God, was showing us by this that the only way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed. The way to come close to God had not been disclosed. Verse 9, this is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. Imagine that. They were the sanctified people of God through blood, but they never experienced any relief in their hearts and minds from the guilt of sin. And blood could get them so far, the blood of animals could get them so far, but it couldn't deal with a guilty conscience, could not bring them into the Holy of Holies. They could not call God Father. Now God shows us this to spotlight what he always planned. He wants us to spotlight on the person whose blood, whose sacrifice gets us into relationship with God, into the Holy of Holies, the forever priest who sheds his blood. A number of years ago, we went to see Oliver on stage. It was just fantastic in the West End. And it's the great scenes in that show, aren't there? And many of the scenes have loads of people on the stage. Lots of people. And it's so exciting to get the picture and the action and everything happening. But then suddenly the main character appear and the spotlight will be on them, because actually to look at them. And there's all this action in chapter 9 of all that's going on in the temple and who can and who can and who can't get in. And then that's all there to spotlight us on the one who can get us in, on the star, on the main person, on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the writer of the Hebrews wants to show us the limits of the Old Testament believer's experience of God and their relationship with him. Verse 9, the sacrifice were not able to clear the conscience. At verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifers sprinkled only made people outwardly clean. No cleansing and relief on the inside. See how the Old Testament, the Old Covenant experience was limited and inadequate. But it's there to spotlight what we have now, friends. So as we realize the limitations of the Old Testament believer's relationship with God, we are to rejoice in the shed blood of Jesus. We're to enjoy that. That's what the writer wants us to do. He shows us again and again how much better, how much more effective the blood of Jesus is. Just look at what Jesus' blood, his sacrifice, does. Verse 12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption. Wow. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. His bloodshed means that he has obtained eternal redemption. The price for sin is paid forever, decisively, once for all who trust in Jesus. Hallelujah, what a saviour. And those who trust in Jesus' sacrificial death are given the sure gift of eternal life. Amazing, he says, verse 15, those who are called receive the promised eternal inheritance. And look at what else the writer unpacks in contrast to the Old Testament covenant. They're only cleansed outwardly, but verse 14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, how much more will he cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? Our consciences do not need to be burdened by our sins, our guilt. No. Through faith in Jesus and his shed blood, there is deep cleansing. There is no condemnation, as Paul puts it in Romans 8. And we cry, hallelujah, what a saviour. You see, as we listen in today, maybe you're not yet a Christian and you've never realised that your guilt and sin can be paid for. When we read in verse 27, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, maybe you realize that your sin and your guilt that you bear, that's in your conscience, that makes you have a heavy heart, makes the future look bleak, death and judgment. But will you see the glorious hope that can be yours through faith? That the many of verse 28 can include you if you will come to Jesus. Confess your sins, receive his pardon, and follow him. Look at what that sacrifice could mean for you if you do that. Verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear again a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, will you come if you've not yet come to Jesus and be cleansed and washed clean in his sight by the blood poured out in sacrifice? You know, our world is constantly searching to different therapies for answers that deal with deep sense of pardon and relief from guilt. We can do research missions and put machines on Mars and get photographs, but we can't provide cleansing from guilt and sin. We can provide hand sanitizer to keep our hands clean, but we have no heart sanitizer. Well, our passage declares that we have the answer to guilt. It is found in the cleansing of Jesus. We have the answer to alienation from God. We can be brought in to know him, in relationship with him. We can call him our Father because of the blood of Christ. He paid for my sin. He ripped the curtain open. He's made the way for me to know God now and forever. We can be brought to know him through the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Now, many of us will be listening in now who are believers, and we can still feel condemned, can't we? We can feel haunted by past failures and sin from before when we were Christians and even since we've been Christians. We need this fresh reminder. I need this fresh reminder of the power of Jesus' blood. And we speak these truths to our hearts, to those things that haunt us. Apply the blood of Jesus afresh and say, I am forgiven. The price has been paid. I'm eternally redeemed. That's something you've got to keep doing, friends, throughout your life, as our enemy, the devil, prowls around and seeks to rob us of the joy and the assurance of salvation and forgiveness and pardon. Now, from God's word today, will we realize the limitations of the believer's relationship with God? Will we rejoice in the shed blood of Jesus? And finally, will we remember who we are? A priest set free to serve. As we close, did you spot the impact of the cleansing blood of Jesus? It's there at the end of verse 14, so that we may serve the living God. Part of keeping going and keeping trusting Jesus and not drifting is to keep on serving the living God. There's no greater joy and blessing to serve the one who's brought us forgiveness and cleansing. I love it that even though through this pandemic loads of stuff has closed, we've been able to keep the church open for NHS blood donors to come every week. And I was looking at their strap line and it said this, I've written it on the side of my notes, give blood, save and transform even more lives. Give blood, save and transform even more lives. You know, we're so loved that Jesus gave his blood, his life, to save us and so that we could be involved in the transformation of other people's lives as we live for Christ and point people to him. Now, the idea of service in this section links to the idea of being a priest in the temple, the tabernacle. Priests, as we've seen, would be those who represent God to the people and the people to God. And the Bible makes it clear that under the new covenant, since Jesus, we are all priests, the priesthood of all believers. And we're all called to serve the Lord by being an intermediary, by bringing Jesus to people so they can meet and have their lives transformed. What a privilege. So when you're changing nappies, when you're caring for your family, when you're at work, when you're on the phone, when you're food shopping or chatting to your neighbours like miles apart with masks on, trying to work out what they're saying. What did you just say? I spent my life doing that. Don't forget that you're there to represent Jesus, to serve the living God, to be a servant, a priest who brings people to God by the way that you speak, by the way that you live. Be Christ to people. We are priests, set free, saved to serve. Doesn't this chapter exalt Jesus and encourage us to hold fast to him and to lovingly serve him? I love the words of this great song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me, Steve Rees, the sinner, you, the sinner, white as snow in God's sight. Praise the Lord for that. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me pray. Oh, we just rejoice, Father, that you've made the way for us to be cleansed and forgiven through the precious blood of Jesus. What a privilege. We say hallelujah. What a saviour we have. And Lord, encouraged by this truth, help us to preach this truth to our hearts and help us, Lord, as you've called us to be, to those, to be priests set free to serve you, to be Jesus to people this week in our words and deeds. We thank you, Lord. Help us. We are weak. In Jesus' name, amen.